on Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
We all agreed yesterday. I think you said it first, Kyle. Trap game for the Kings last night, but after somewhat shaky start, ended up to be no problem. They go now from trap game against the Wizards to, a checkpoint game against Boston tomorrow. But I want to see what you thought of. This is my Keegan Murray observation. Keegan Murray, I think, is going to be one of those guys who ends up scoring a lot of points and you don't realize how many points he has. You know, and you're like, the defense may say, we did a good job on Keegan tonight. What? Oh, he had 25. I think he's going to be one of those guys.
Well, yeah, I think so. And you know, we talked yesterday about it. Like, 20 should be easy, I think, for Keegan Murray. Like, what I saw last night, he could replicate that and duplicate it. And you're right. It doesn't take a lot for him to get 20. Knock down a few threes, couple layups, couple dunks, couple of free throws, and then you look up and it's like, bam, yep. Keegan's got 20.
It's another Murray flurry.
Another. Oh, I might have to patent that, trademark that, use that. Come next game.
Already
I call.
Trademarked it.
You can use it.
You got T-shirts out there, I'm sure, coming up. But no, you're right, man, because scoring is easy for him. It comes natural for him. And now we're starting to see him being unleashed a little bit. You know, the full repertoire of his game, the three-level scorer that he is out there. And so I agree with you, man. It's there's no reason why he shouldn't be a 19, 20-point per game scorer on a bad night.
Mm-hmm. I was talking this afternoon with Jerry Reynolds, and Jerry was saying, hey, how about this? Last night at halftime, it seemed like Keegan hadn't done anything, right? It seemed like, he had 10 points. You know, there was a while he was averaging like 11.
Right.
Well, he had 10 last night in the first half, and it seemed like he hadn't done anything yet.
Yeah, and now because of, you know, who he is coming off the 47-point game, if he gets 10 in the first half, it's like, all right, ho-hum. You know?
Exactly.
It's not that big of a deal.
Price of admission.
Exactly. That's what he should do. And so, no, I think what we saw on Saturday was really – it's sort of like scar tissue where you need to just bust through it. Well, Keegan Murray has bust through the door right now, and I think the world is his oyster, man. I think we're going to see, you know, 18, 19, 22, 25-point games from here on out.
Something else I noticed last night. Tell me what you think of this. You remember the Warriors years ago, they were the third quarter Warriors, right? Remember they'd come out and boom!
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, well, last four home games here against the Nets – the Kings had 44 in the third quarter. Mm. Against OKC, they scored 41 in the third quarter. Against Utah, the Kings scored 44 in the third quarter. And last night, they had 46 in the third quarter. So probably just coincidence, but it's something that kind of caught my eye. Like, whoa, you make those halftime adjustments and boom, Kings have been taken off in the third quarter.
Yeah, and we talked to Sasha Vezenkov after, I think it might have been the OKC win. And it was like, dude, what did Mike Brown say at halftime? And he wouldn't give us the details, the full tea. But clearly something's going on where this team has just figured it out after halftime. Like, that's a big time. And maybe it's Mike Brown and his time with the Warriors, like you said. I'm looking at the numbers right now. The Kings are fifth in the NBA in net rating in the third quarter.
Mm.
And so they're
and
among the top.
That's trending upwards,
and
too.
That's trending upwards. They're behind the Sixers, Timberwolves, Thunder, Clippers, and Sacramento. And what's interesting about that, of those top five, then you can add Denver, Phoenix. So your top seven, to me, are all title contenders, if you will, NBA Finals contenders. And so anytime you could be in the class of a Denver, of a Minnesota, Clippers, you know, we're talking the cream of the crop, the upper echelon, that's a great thing. And so 39 in the second quarter, 46 in the third. I mean, we know Washington doesn't play any defense. I get that. I understand that. But that's still impressive.
Yeah, this is impressive, too. You may have known this. I didn't realize this till I heard Scott Marsh in the post game last night. Scott Marsh and Jay Ross were breaking down the game. And with the win, the Kings are now fourth in the West. The teams ahead of them are Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Denver. The Kings right now are 4-0 against those teams that are ahead of them.
Exactly. And we also have to remember, too, Whitey, their nine losses came against four teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're still stuck on that. Here we are 25 games into the season, and they've only lost to four teams. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, out of all the games they've played, all the teams they've faced, there's only been four teams that have been able to beat Sacramento. And I also want to add, can we give them some love for taking care of home court this season,
too?
10-3 at home. The way they're playing at home right now, something totally opposite than what we saw last year. And we all know that Golden 1 Center is a tremendous home court advantage. We know that crowd is lively. That crowd is lit. It's into it. And now the players are showing it as well. And now, you know, and I said it yesterday during the game, the Kings are protecting the house. And then you go out there and win half your games on the road, and man, you're talking easily a 50-win team.
You're absolutely right. And home court isn't all that the Kings took care of last night. I realize Washington doesn't put a lot of defensive pressure on you, as you said, but the Kings only had 7 turnovers last night. You score 143, and you only turn the ball over 7 times. That's impressive. But the thing is, yeah, it's true the Kings are off to one of their better starts. It's also true that we're possibly going to learn a lot about how good this team is over the next 3 games. Yeah. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah, exactly. And so let me ask you this, and I'll pose this question to the people out there as well. What needs to happen these next 3? Like, we're riding a roller coaster so far this season. Right now, we're high. We're feeling good. If they go 1-2, are we okay? You know, I'm worried about these next 3 games with Boston, Phoenix, and Minnesota. Minnesota, second night of a back-to-back for Sacramento. We know how they've struggled. And so I don't want to sort of ride this waiver. I'm trying to temper expectations, if you will, right now. Like, all right, Kings fans, let's talk about these next 3 games. If we go 3-0, okay, stay high. We're riding high. If we go 1-2, it's not the end of the world if, you know, they go 1-2 against these next 3 teams.
Right. And, of course, they do catch Boston tomorrow night on the second out of back-to-back
for them.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kyle Draper wants to know, what do you need? Is that how we phrase it? What do you need to see?
What do you need to see from Sacramento, the Kings, these next 3 games? I want to hear that because we're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're flying high and everything. I just don't want it to become crashing down, you know, and us take calls next week. Oh, we got to trade this guy. Let's temper our expectations. Let's be, you know, live in the middle zone and not going high and low after every game.
I think for me, they need to win 2 of the 3 and they need to be competitive in every one of them. You know, obviously it depends how things break down, but if you win 2 of the 3 against these good teams and you're competitive in every game, to me, that's a good indication again that, yep, everything right now is on track.
I'll say this, and I'll raise you one. They have to be competitive in every game. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about 1-2, it's not the end of the world, in my opinion. It's not the end. But you got to compete. Yeah. At home, you can't get blown out at home.
No, I agree.
That can't happen. Yes. Those days are over.
Yeah.
That loss we had to the Clippers, to the Pelicans, like, that can't happen. Not right now. And so I'm trying to figure out what's the bar for us as a fan base, as a team, as an organization. It's like, all right, if you have a good showing in 3 games and maybe you go 2-1, maybe you go 1-2, that's okay. But you can't get blown out.
I agree.
You can't. Yeah. Because, and I think you'll agree with this, we're talking about competing for a championship, Whitey. We're not, you know, some San Antonio Spurs team, bottom of the barrel, looking for moral victories or anything like that. You know, we're trying to establish ourselves as one of the elite franchises, one of the elite teams. And the way you do that, Kings fans, is not beating up on Utah. It's not beating up on Washington. The way you prove that is by beating Boston.
Yes.
By beating Minnesota, Phoenix, going out there and handle your business this week.
By having good teams come in and the Kings putting those teams on their heels from the jump.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. To your point, I was thinking of that yesterday, too. It wasn't that long ago that the Kings were in a position similar to where the Wizards are right now, right? We had your friend on there, analyst, and, hey, how do they pose matchup problems for the Kings? And he basically said, no, well, they don't. We've been there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was talking to Chris Miller, Wizards play-by-play guy, before the game, and he said, Trapes, you know, when you guys opened the building in 17, how long did it take to change, you know, the culture and everything? And I said, really, Chris, it wasn't a you know, continuous, lengthy process. It really happened overnight.
Yep.
When the trade of Domantas Sabonis happened, in my opinion. That really changed the course of the franchise. And we could talk about Tyrese Halliburton all we want. Great player. We love Tyrese. But the trade to get Domantas Sabonis, from the very first game, you felt something different in that building. It unleashed De'Aaron Fox. Then you go out there and you add Mike Brown in, and then it all starts to come together. And so I'm going to say it happened overnight with that trade that Monty McNair made.
It took a long time. I know Jordan Poole last night, I'm not a big Jordan Poole, the basketball player fan. He was phenomenal last night with the long-range shooting. But after the game, he was asked about what's going on here. And he said, you know, they've been at this for 6 or 7 years. Now, it's not his job to know what's going on here, but that's not really true.
It's not.
It didn't start, like you say, until really just towards the end of the year before last season.
Exactly, because when you look at it, go back 2 years. Let's say before the Domantas Sabonis trade. How many people were on the roster then or on the roster now? You had Harrison Barnes and De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And I think Davion was in his rookie year then.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's it. And so this wasn't, you know, we've been growing
right.
and it's taking time and guys are – no. Monty made the trade for Domantas Sabonis, and that set everything in motion for this team.
Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily take a long time. Once you find the right mix, it's going to happen, but it's hard to find, as we know.
Right.
It takes a while to find that right mix sometimes.
Yeah, and you got to have the right people in charge. And kudos to Vivek and Monty. And, you know, how many bad, you know, tenures have we had, whether it's at coaching staff, running GM, you know. Finally, we have some stability at all levels right now, and it's been a while since Sacramento's had that.
It's funny you say that. We were watching last night. The Hornets were on. Don't you feel like as a fan sometimes you look at the Hornets, and they've just been trying to gain some measure of respectability for seemingly forever.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like – I know this is wrong because it's not that easy, but don't you feel like as a fan – that if they hired you, like, in 3 years, I can get you some new right? You know? It's like, I'm not saying I'm going to win a title, but I can make you better and make you decent.
Yeah.
It seems much easier than it is.
It sounds easy like that. I mean, think about it. Charlotte, Detroit, these are guys, teams with multiple lottery picks every year. They're in the lottery every single year.
Yeah.
And Charlotte has talent, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, LaMelo's a talented player. I like Terry Rozier. I like Gordon Hayward. They got some young pieces there, but something's just off with them. Like, they just aren't winning. And, you know, it's hard to win in the NBA. And like I said before, thank goodness that we got Monty and Mike Brown right now.
Yeah, thank goodness we have Drapes Takes coming up.
Yes,
right back with Drapes Takes. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. What a glorious time to be a Kings fan. Holiday season here. And last night I took a picture, posted it, you know, at the Doco, they got some Christmas trees all lit up. And then in the background, you got the beam.
Yeah.
And you got some really attractive opponents coming in, some exciting games coming up. Great time to be a Kings fan. Glad you're with us. Doug Christie is going to be with us today.
Yeah, our guy.
At 5 o'clock, Brandon Nunes, one of our Sacktown Sports insiders at 3:30. And right now, the moment you've been waiting for. It is time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Sacramento, it has been a while. Your boy was sick last week. We had the long weekend, everything. But Drapes Takes is back. And I got to start off with the same guy who started us off Saturday against the Utah Jazz, Domantas Sabonis. I was having a conversation with Kyle Ledbetter before today's show, and he's like, I don't know if Domas is going to make an all-star team this year. I was like, what? Did we see what Domantas Sabonis did and what he's been doing? First of all, in that Utah game, he set the table. He set the tone, came out early, 10 points, and then Keegan took over. And last night, he was a man among boys. You look up bully ball in Webster's dictionary, it'll be a picture of Domas owning Daniel Gafford, which we saw last night. Once again, a triple-double, his third of the season, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. Domantas Sabonis is playing at an all-NBA level once again, Whitey, and I think we got to give him some props. You know, so many people, oh, what happened to Houston? Forget Houston. I'm talking about what happened last night. I'm talking about what happened two games ago. I'm talking about what happened all season long, really. Domantas Sabonis helped change the course of this franchise. He's delivering day in and day out. He is a joy to watch. Can we give Domas some love?
Yeah, and let's not forget this. He was so good last year. I think people forget that he played most of the year with a broken thumb. I think that's one reason he's probably playing better this year. He has two hands at his disposal.
Yes, exactly. So that's my first takeaway from last night's game. Domantas Sabonis is a beast. You know, he just owned the Wizards. You know, poor Mike Muscala couldn't handle him at all. And then Daniel Gafford, he got Gafford in foul trouble. Gafford, a nice young player. He couldn't deal with Domantas Sabonis. So kudos to Domantas Sabonis. Give a shout out to Keegan Murray also. That's my second Drapes take. You know, when you score 47 points, the question begs, what are you going to do for an encore? What are you going to do to follow that up? And Keegan, and I talked to him before the game, I said, all right, what you got in store for us tonight? He's like, probably not 47, but guess what, Keegan? I'll take 25. Mm-hmm. I'll take the way you played last night. Whitey, I will take 17 shots. Remember I said yesterday, there's no reason why this guy shouldn't take 15 to 18 shots per game. He was aggressive last night. The 25 points, that's not a great game. That should be an average kind of game, I think, for Keegan Murray in this offense.
Yeah, the shot distribution was great last night. 19 for Fox, 16 for Domas. As you said, 17 for Keegan, and HB had 11. And by the way, Keegan also last night, I love this, he had 4 assists.
Wow.
That was with, 5 rebounds as well. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah, overall nice game from Keegan Murray. I mean, you talk about, you know, a player of the week kind of caliber player. What we've seen the last few games from Keegan Murray, he's up there, 9 of 17, shooting 25 points in the win. This last Drapes takes, this is my third and final one. Kings fans, we can't ever talk about Harrison Barnes again the way we did a couple of weeks ago. I'm not there for Harrison Barnes slander. The dude dropped 19 last night. He dropped 16 on Saturday. Harrison Barnes is exactly what this team needs. He's not a ball hog. He's not begging for shots. He gives you what you need. He knows how to feed the needy. And so all this Harrison Barnes slander last week, 2 weeks ago, where y'all at right now? Give my man Harrison Barnes some props. He dropped 19 last night. He's playing defense as well. I think Harrison Barnes has been tremendous these last couple games.
Yeah, I admit I was one of the slanderers a few weeks ago. But look at it this way. Let's say you brought in, name any of the guys the Kings are talking about. Let's say Anunoby.
Yeah.
They brought him in and he went 8 for 11, scored 19 points. People would be doing somersaults.
We'd love that,
yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, it's great.
Exactly. And we've talked about it time and time again. As the fifth, maybe sixth option on your team, if Harrison Barnes could give me 12 to 15 points average, I'm okay with that because he's your sixth option. He does other things. He rebounds. He defends. He's a leader in the locker room. He's playing out of position, guarding much bigger guys at times. And so Harrison Barnes, to me, he has been tremendous. He was great again last night. And I just want people to have the same energy when he plays bad and the numbers don't reflect it. Have that same energy when he does well. You know, we want to hype up Keegan. We want to hype up Fox. We want to hype up Domas. I get it. Because they play well. But also, let's hype up Harrison Barnes.
I agree with you, but I will say this on behalf of those who are not always satisfied with him. The thing is, if I may speak on behalf of those people, they'd just like to see a little more consistency.
But he's your sixth option, though, Whitey. That's the thing. Your sixth option is not going to be consistent scoring the ball. And people say they want consistency. They're looking at the box score and saying, I want consistent points. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're the sixth option, you're not consistent. That's why De'Aaron Fox is the first option. Keegan, Domas, your top-level guys are the consistent ones, not your sixth option.
Right, right. He had a fine game last night. But there are some times when, in the past, he has seemingly not been there, not giving you anything. But that hasn't been the case of late. He's in a nice stretch here.
Yes.
And if he plays like this, you don't need to worry about bringing in somebody else who probably wouldn't put up the numbers that he's putting up the last couple games.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the text line. Somebody from the 916. I want Herter and Barnes to play better the next two games. Darren put his name on it. Darren, have you not been watching what Harrison Barnes has been doing? Harrison Barnes is playing better. You know, and so let's give this guy some credit. Let's give this guy kudos. HB is doing some great things. Now, here's the thing for HB, because these are tough matchups coming. Think about the guys he's going to have to guard these next few days, him and Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be tough. And so I would love to see Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray for that. I know you guys are playing defense, but you know what? If you can give this team some offense too, man, that would take the Kings – because we know Fox and Sabonis are going to be great. We're talking about possibly going 3-0 over these next three. Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, if you guys keep it going like you've been these last couple of games, there's no reason why we shouldn't be 3-0.
3-0 to me, obviously it's possible.
Yes.
But that just sounds, wow. I mean, I think that would be very impressive, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't
that would be a statement. That
put you in a state of mind where you're like, I think this team is, we may add around the edges, but this team's foundation is pretty solid.
100% right. If they go 3-0, mind you, if they go 3-0, they will have won what? 7 straight, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at, going 3-0 against these teams, that's not only putting Sacramento on notice, that's putting the entire NBA. That's putting ESPN. That's putting NBA.com. That's putting FS1. All these national people, they will be talking about the Sacramento Kings next. I got a quick bonus one I want to throw
bonus
in there
take.
As well. When we started off talking about the Kings and where they fit in the Western Conference this season, 25 games in, Whitey, there's no reason why Kings fans, myself, you, whoever, shouldn't believe that this team can be a top three team in the Western Conference. The way things are shaking out right now, I think the Kings are a top three team in the West. I think you got Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got Denver. I think Denver's going to, right in the ship and get better. And I think Sacramento's right there. Like Sacramento, OKC, the Clippers, they're all on the same level, I think, right now. And so why can't Sacramento be a top three seed again?
You're not going to like this.
I don't care.
Garrett Young. Thank you, Garrett, on the chat. He says, HB, no rebounds, no assists last night, though. That's true.
My gosh.
And I knew that was out there.
See, this is a hater.
I'm not trying to, pick at you, but I knew that was out there. It's true, but the thing is, he had 19 points on 11 shots.
11 shots.
I think the thing is with that, you tell me if you disagree, but the Kings handled their business on the backboards last night. So if you out-rebound the other team as they did last night, 42-39, they've been doing really well on the defensive glass. You can look up the advanced numbers. So it doesn't matter who gets the rebounds
right.
If you get the rebounds. Now, let's say Domas had 8 and then Harrison Barnes had 5. Would that be better? I mean, people might feel like, oh, Barnes played better. But ultimately, it doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference,
right?
No, you're right. And when you look at the rebounding, first of all, Domas gobbles up a lot of
everything.
Them.
Yeah.
And second of all, Harrison Barnes is playing perimeter defense on a guy like Kuzma or somebody else out there on the perimeter. And so if we're going to nitpick, who was that? Garrett or who
Garrett
was it?
Young.
You know what he's doing? He's box score watching. He's day after Monday morning quarterback. You didn't think that during the game, Garrett Young. You didn't say that during the game. Man, how come Harrison Barnes just doesn't look like he's making any assists? Where's his rebounds at? You woke up today and said, oh, let me get Harrison Barnes' numbers. Oh, he didn't have. Come on, man. See, this is what I'm talking about. We can't do that with Harrison Barnes. We can't wake up the next morning and look at the box score and try to judge what this guy is night
True.
In and night out
but
for this
team. This is a safe space for your opinions, even if. We're
is it really?
Like it is.
I mean, come
we'll
on.
Talk about
Even
it.
If your opinions are wrong.
That's what we're here is to discuss and debate. Manny Too Legit, Whitey and Drapes. Is Fox, Domas, and Keegan considered a big three now? If they keep playing like they did yesterday. Do the Kings have a big three?
If they keep playing like they did yesterday, yes. We've been waiting for Keegan to come up and join the other two.
Yeah.
And over the last 3 or 4 games, he's done that. And so that's why I said earlier, I think what we saw Saturday has really unleashed, unshackled Keegan. Like, he's going to be this guy night in and night out. The 10 points, the, 4 shot, like, no. He's the fact that he was as aggressive, 17 shots as he was last night, with De'Aaron Fox playing, that to me is the key. That shows me something. And I think we're going to see a brand new Keegan Murray going forward now.
Let me ask you this, going forward here with the show. You want to continue with the Kings and the big win and the big homestand?
I don't want to talk football today. I do not want to talk football today. You got your answer.
Or Pete Carroll, what he did to the Eagles again. Back with more Kings. And we'll take a peek at that, what happened last night in Philadelphia as well. As we roll on here, the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, before we get any further, I mean, tis the season, ho, 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 and all that. But too much is too much. Kyle Draper just pointed out something I hadn't seen. What was that? Was that a Laker game?
Laker game last night.
Dog,
yeah.
Big retriever of some kind.
Courtside, front row. They do some crazy things out there, man.
Yeah. I mean, they got on TV and everything, right? So I guess that's the whole...
That was the point of it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It was, look, guys, I'm going to take my dog to the game. And sure enough...
You know what I really don't like about that? And I know it's SoCal and we're NorCal, but... You know, guys like you, when you were still in Philly, you see that, and you think, those people in California are nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not like that.
Right. You know, my uncle used to say California is probably three different countries. So, you know, you got you got SoCal, you got, you know, the middle part, you got the Bay, you know, and the Northern Cal. Like, we got a lot of diversity.
That's definitely true. In,
of everything out here in California.
But, you know, some people just think California's California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of hippies running around.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I heard Alan say when he was at Temple, people would say, oh, you're from California. Do you surf? Do you know? Hey, I have a friend in San Diego.
Right,
do you know him?
Right.
You know, it's like, no.
Oh, man.
The Warriors taking on the Celtics tonight. Celtics play the Kings tomorrow. And it looks like for tonight anyway, the Celts are a little shorthanded, huh?
Yeah, no Kristaps Porzingis tonight. Left calf strain maintenance. They're calling it. I don't know if they're holding him out to play Sacramento tomorrow. It'll be interesting. I think.
Does it come to that? Dodging against the Warriors? So we got him against the Kings?
You know, I don't know, and I need to check this, and I may be wrong, so somebody correct me. But I don't think Al Horford plays back-to-backs.
Hmm.
And so if Al plays tonight, then he's not playing tomorrow, and then they'd be severely shorthanded. So I think they're giving Kristaps tonight off to play them tomorrow because they may be without Al Horford. I could be wrong on that, but I knew there was a point where he wasn't playing in back-to-backs.
By the way, last night, Anthony Slater was out there, of course, and so I was talking to him at halftime. And, you know, yesterday you and I had been kicking around the silly odds on where Draymond's going to go. And Slates, of course, covers the Warriors' nest for years and years and years and years for The Athletic. And I asked him, they're not going to trade Draymond, are they? And he gave me a look. He said, well.
Ooh, he gave you that look.
Yeah, he said, they might. And I was like, really? He said, if they start losing, he said, if they win, they're not going to do anything. But he said, if they start losing, and he said something along the lines of, you know, they are kind of growing tired of everything. And if they start losing, and what I took him to mean, you know, with everything they're paying them. So that, I mean, if Anthony Slater says they might, then that could be, not right now, but that could be something that comes into play.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And but, you know.
I don't want him here.
Right. We don't want him here.
But, yeah.
But. What would that signal if you're the Warriors? Would that signal it's over? The run is over?
At the very least, it would signal the run with those three is over, and we're going to try to get another run going by filling in.
And would you look at moving Clay also, who's due a contract after this season?
That's a tough one.
You know, that's tough. And so they're in a pickle right now. They're in a jam. And, you know, who was it? Was it Matt Barnes? Or who said that it's over? A lot of people have. I think it was High Flyer came on. He's like, dude, they are done. They are toast. And if you're Mike Dunleavy Jr., it's like, all right, how do you rebuild this kind of on the fly? Because you still got Steph. How do you surround Steph with talent for these next 3 to 5 years, 3 years or so?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah. To me, it's over. I mean, they were one of the greatest teams. They won in 2022, which is the one that's going to stand out, I think, in the future. Of all the ones they won, that'll be the one that people go, wow, how'd they win that? But you look at where they are right now. I guess it's a semantics what you consider a dynasty to be. But to me, right now, there's no Warrior dynasty. That's done. That was in the past.
No, that's done.
Yeah.
Were they really a dynasty?
Well, I mean, you won those two. They never won three in a row.
They never won three in a row.
Yeah. But they won three and four. The 1 year they didn't win, they won 73 games. So that's pretty good.
We consider the Spurs a dynasty, right? I think they were 5 and 10 years.
Yeah, they were really spread out.
Yeah, they were spread out. And so I don't know. The Warriors will tell you they're a dynasty, though. They'll tell you that. So you ask any fan.
They probably will always tell you that.
Yeah, they'll tell you that.
No matter what. the Kings back in action tomorrow night, of course. Did you at any point last night, Kyle, feel like that game was starting to get a little too close for comfort at the end? I know it didn't, but it was a little like, hey, wow, if they make a bucket here, it's like we're talking like nine.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was, and I forget who made the shot. Somebody made a shot with about 50 seconds left, about a minute left, and it was like, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
because it was 9 at that point. You miss that shot. They go down and hit a 3 or something like that.
Right,
and then
right.
It's 6, and you're like, uh-oh, Mike, you got to get the starters back in.
Yeah.
But, you know, we knew the Wizards were going to wizard, and so I wasn't nervous. I wasn't panicking or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. How about Sasha? I know we've talked a lot about Sasha, and last night he had 8 points, 12 minutes, hit 2 of 3 threes. Looks like maybe he's starting to get close. I know last night was really, let's face it, almost a glorified scrimmage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, when you look at Sasha, the fact that, you know, he came in and literally the first time he touched the ball, he jacked up a 3 and made it. And I was like, man, this dude, you know, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that's what he was last night. He gave them some really good minutes with the 7 rebounds, the 8 points, obviously. Only played 11 minutes and change last night. You know, mm-hmm. I keep telling you, I like 15 to 20 minutes a night from this guy. But, you know, I look at it, I thought everybody who saw action last night, you know, extended action, contributed in some way. Even you look at Malik Monk, only 3 of 7, but he had the 6 dimes. He had the 6 assists. And so I thought, you know, everybody who came out there played well last night.
Yeah, and he had the 3 threes. The 11 minutes in, 46 seconds for Sasha. Not a lot, but 11 minutes, 46 seconds more than JaVale McGee played last night.
Right. What's up with that? Right? The one player who didn't play was JaVale McGee. I don't know. I think that's something to watch as we go forward. You know,
I don't think Mike Brown's crazy about what he's getting out of JaVale night to night right
now. You know, JaVale hasn't had his best stuff these last few games. And, you know, we saw it with Davion. Like, hey, if you're not producing, I'm going to get somebody else out there. And, you know, last night it was Trey Lyles. You know, Trey Lyles, he played 17 minutes and change. Man, I'm looking at it. Every starter outside of Herder played more than 30 minutes. Even Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes played the most minutes out of anybody last night. Think about that.
Look how many points the starters scored last night.
The starters were on fire. Yeah. Give the starters credit. You know, I even thought Kevin Herter came out early and had a couple of early buckets that set the tone early on. And so usually, you know, you don't have all 5 starters clicking like that with the Kings. Like, usually you get Malik, maybe Trey Lyles off the bench. But last night was a starter game, that's for sure. And I understand it's against the Wizards, who are, what, 4-22 now? I think they are. But they're an NBA team. They got NBA players. I thought the Wizards actually played pretty decent last night. But Sacramento was just clearly the better team last night.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a real good atmosphere for a rainy cats and dogs raining Monday night against a bad team. It was a really good atmosphere in the building.
You know what kind of game it was. I was sitting there with Katie doing the game in the third quarter, and the Kings were just, you know, blitzing them. 39 in the second, 46 in the third. And it's sort of like there wasn't any intensity. It was sort of like you said, a glorified scrimmage. Like, at no point did I think we're in trouble or, you know, I looked up at the clock and it was 6 minutes left in the third. And I'm like, my gosh, we still got that much time left? Like, it sounded like and it felt like we were chanting "Light the Beam" like early in the third quarter.
Well, fans start doing the wave.
Right.
It's like, what? What are you doing?
They were doing the wave. Exactly. And they were doing it in the expensive seats, like the front row were doing it too. And it felt like just a party, a coronation, if you will, a celebration, even in the third quarter. And you still had 18 minutes left to play. And so we were just having fun last night with everything, man. It was tremendous. It was great.
It's almost like that was the end of Christmas vacation. And now, and I know Christmas isn't here yet, but this next night, next 3
back
games.
Back to business.
Yeah. Vacation's over. You know, school starts again against 3. Hopefully you're the team giving the lessons against these 3 games.
And we needed that, I think, you know, because with this gauntlet coming up, these next 3 games, you know, you needed some good vibes, some feel good. And so I'm glad, you know, they've been stringing together some wins here as of late. And now, you know, we got to remember, you got to take care of business now. You know, it's all fun and games. It's like being in school, right? I liken it to my high school / college academic career. High school, it was all fun and games, baby. I was chilling. I was, you know, getting all A's, you know, doing good on the SAT, feeling good about myself. I got to college, got smacked upside the head. It was a rude awakening. And so now we need to turn the page as a team. If you're Sacramento, sure, you celebrate that win, but now you got to put on your hard hat, mm-hmm. your work boots, and you got to get ready for tomorrow night.
We talked about this. You look at the schedule, and for any team, especially a team in the West that expects to be good, there are very few stretches of the schedule where, oh, we got a soft portion of the schedule here.
Yeah.
Kings just had one with Utah and Washington, and they took full advantage of it. That's all you can do. It's real important that you do that.
Right. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, right?
Yeah.
And then you maybe split against, you know, the teams on the same level as you. And so I think one thing we've seen from Sacramento that's encouraging to me is, you mentioned it earlier, they've beaten the top teams in the Western Conference. But they had struggled with teams below them. Well, not anymore. You know, you beat Washington. You beat Utah like you're supposed to do. This is a new year and a new day for the Kings, because these games, last year, they lost some of these games. Let's mm-hmm. not forget that. At around this time.
Specifically to that
yes,
team.
Yes, exactly. And so that was a statement last night, and they did exactly what we wanted them to.
Coming up, we've got some incredible numbers here on, and bear with us, Kyle, it's Pete Carroll and the success he's had against a particular team in the NFC East. Really surprising numbers. We'll share those with you next year as the Drive Guys roll on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate the smartest listeners, viewers in radio. Also, Kyle, I think the most persistent here on the YouTube chat from McToads. Says, Kyle, Boston Celtics, your thoughts? We can beat them? And then he also adds, Kyle, your friend's coming to town. Can we get a Boston Insider on? McToad's just a few comments later. Can we get a Boston Insider on, guys? I mean, really? He says he really wants you to get a Boston Insider on.
You know, I think McToad's might be a burner account for like my guy Gary Washburn at a Boston Globe or Scal or Cedric Maxwell. They want to come on our show so badly, that they created a burner account to try and hit us up. And we got that tomorrow. The Celtics got a game tonight. They got to focus on the Warriors. We'll have some insiders tomorrow, McToe. We got you covered.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR is back with us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, JR. How are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good. What's up, JR?
Hey, Draves, I like how you dropped one in high school. I got the ladies. Is that what I heard you say?
I got the ladies?
You slipped in a... Hey,
no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, man. I did, but I didn't say it.
I bet you were all that in high school, young man.
Yeah.
I was a quiet guy, man. The ladies weren't feeling Drapes back then, man.
Drapes with the drip. I'm sure you were loving it, dude. You and Katie, you guys knock it out of the park. You freaking do such a great job. Really do. Huge compliments for you guys. And I did laugh. You dropped the, they're doing the wave in the expensive seat.
Right.
And that was so, oh my God. Katie almost, you could hear her laugh a little. Like, yeah, even the rich people do the wave once in a while.
Right. That's what kind of party we had last night. Yep. Even the rich people were doing it. Oh, man.
Oh, that was some good stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah, the Kings play well. Keegan doing what he does, and it just starts to wonder. You know, was last year with Philly a fluke? I mean, that's what I start to think when I look at the Kings. Bye bye.
He had to sneak that in there, right?
He did.
Oh, that's good stuff.
He piled on the praise, and I'm sure it was very
buttered me up.
But then, at the end,
stabbed me in the back right there. Stabbed me. I appreciate that, Jay.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 10 has been hanging on. Let's see for what. 10, you're up with the Drive Guys. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, what's up, 10?
Good. What's up, Joyce? Hey, so for Keegan, I think that such a franchise confidence boost to the franchise, because after a successful rookie for Keegan and then the second year to drop the 47, and then he followed that up with an impressive 25 too, you know, the next game. So I think the core, the players around him, coaching staff can see the improvement in the young boy, young buck, and they're like, okay, we can get this young blood rolling. And I think it's going to propel them all the way. You know, we're talking next three games, but all the way up to All-Star break after that too. Something bright in Keegan, re-sign, keep him, all for him.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about that for a while, thank goodness. But to Tin's point, I was wondering about that. You know, early in the year, we looked at it and said, you know, Keegan's got to play better and this guy's got to play better and defense has to be better. And the team, quite often, they were pressing. And now, you know, that they're missing shots and you could tell that they were trying to live up to the expectations. Now that Keegan's playing better and there are a lot of other things going on too, it's not all that, but they seem as a team on this homestand to be playing, just playing Kings basketball instead of feeling like we've got to do this or do that. They're just playing more naturally.
And we talked about that yesterday, you know, when looking at that Utah game, even with without De'Aaron Fox, they still played Kings basketball.
Yeah.
It wasn't like guys were looking around unsure, what do we do? You know, it looked like the same Kings team, just minus De'Aaron Fox. Same thing last night. It was Kings basketball no matter who was out on the floor. And, you know, I said it during the broadcast, Kings basketball is up-tempo, shared a wealth, but also it's playing with a joy as well. And I think, you know, what we saw last night from Sacramento, I thought they were extremely physical with Washington. Like, I love the physicality that they showed, but they also did it with a smile on their face, too. Like, they were enjoying, and that, to me, is Kings basketball. It's being physical on the defensive end, but then free-flowing on the offensive end, and we saw that last night.
We'll get back to the Kings top of the hour, and Doug Christie is going to join us today as well, Brendan Nunes. But, Kyle, we've got to mention.
Do we have to?
Yeah. This is, I think even you will find this perhaps interesting. Pete Carroll has become he became the coach of the Seahawks in 2010. Okay? Since then, Seattle has faced your team 8 times, and the Seahawks have won each and every game played between the two teams since Pete Carroll became the
that
Seahawks.
That is crazy.
Coach. It is. It is. 20-17 last night, so Seattle maybe saved their season. It also gives Pete Carroll a win over each Eagles head coach during the time Carroll has coached the Seahawks. 1-0 against Andy Reid, 1-0 against Chip Kelly, 5-0 against Doug Peterson, and now 1-0 against Nick Sirianni. 4 wins happened in Seattle, 4 happened in Philadelphia, 1 game was a postseason contest, wild card game. 2019, the Seahawks beat the Eagles in both the regular season and the postseason by the identical scores of 17-9. Carroll has only ever lost to the Eagles once in his career. That was 24 years ago today when he was coaching the Patriots. But isn't that weird?
That's a weird stat.
Against your team.
Because it's not like it's the same personnel.
Right.
Or same coaches. It's just one of those weird stats. And, you know, I didn't get the chance to watch last night's game, although I did watch the final minute.
I almost texted you and I thought,
I was kind of busy. Yeah, I was.
Why
would you text me, though, that?
Because I thought you'd want to know.
So if they won, would you have texted me?
Of course. Yeah. Sure.
I'm sure.
Of course.
I'm still waiting for that text. I'm still waiting for it. But, you know, no, it's first of all, give Seattle credit. They made some plays down the stretch. Some of those catches, DK Metcalf, you know, using his leg and everything. And then,
Drew Lock, Jigba, Rosie Cage,
Drew Lock, you know, they made some tremendous plays down the stretch. But as an Eagles fan, I'm going to be 100% honest right now. We got a problem. And our problem, I'm not going to overreact to the 3 losses in a row. James Bradbury has been a turnstile all season long.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this dude is still out there playing, what are we doing? If he's on the field, we're not going to win. It's just that simple. We have to improve the secondary. It's too late now, I think. You know, what can you do? But Bradbury getting beat on that last touchdown, that's the one thing you can't do,
right.
Whitey, is give up that. Let the guy get behind you like that.
I was surprised that it happened.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And Bradbury has made mistakes time and time and time again. That guy, I'm not saying we should point the finger at him. He's to blame totally. But he's a big part of why we're struggling right now. He is not a top flight corner. He is not a guy you can count on, and teams are picking on him. It's killing us right
now. Yeah, I think with the secondary especially, it's more personnel than scheme for your team right now. And there's time to turn around. But, you know, that's why Matt Patricia calling the defense, there's only so much you can do if you're compromised terms of the ability. But I wanted to say something good about your team. Jason Kelce got called for a false start on the brotherly shove.
Yeah.
And to his credit, you know, a lot of people said, wow, the league has finally figured out how to stop that thing. And he said, you know what? I've been warned about that. They've told me about that So they called it on me, but they, you know, he didn't bellyache about it, and I give him some credit for that.
Well, he's a stand-up guy. That's what we do, man. Uh-huh. You know, that's how we are in Philadelphia. You know, we own up to our mistakes. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. You know, that's mm-hmm. what happens. But, you know, and I hopefully we're going to talk about this later, too, the Jalen Hurts comments about, you know, I don't know if we're committed enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's coming from your leader, coming from your quarterback. And I'm trying to figure out who he's talking about. To me, it has to be the secondary, right? Like, the offense, sure, it struggled recently, but they have the talent. They have the players. I'm not too worried about that. It's the defense. It's, you know, the secondary. You can't give up a touchdown in that situation, you know? That's the one thing. You give up a field goal. Go for it. You know, it's not going to hurt you. But you give up a touchdown
mm-hmm.
under a minute, that's just – you can't have that.
I know Jalen wasn't feeling well last night. He was, I think, questionable, if not doubtful.
Yeah.
But to make that throw, you know, because it looked like, wow, I know you weren't able to see it. They were driving even after the touchdown. Yeah. It looked like they're going to get in field goal range. And then he threw into double coverage and the pass was picked off and that was their last chance. He didn't have to throw that ball. It's like, why'd you take that shot?
Yeah.
So for that guy to take that shot and then – you know, what happened? Oh, we're not committed. That's a bad look.
Yeah, it's a bad look, but, you know, the dude's playing hurt. And I'm watching ESPN earlier today, and it was Dominique Foxworthy. He said it. When you're trailing, you're down, you're in a two-minute, you're in a position to take more chances. You take more chance. You take more risk. And so that's what's happening with Jalen Hurts. These close games, you become a little more risky, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to lead your team back. And to Brock Purdy's, you know, case, and I don't want to make this a discussion about him, but when you don't have to make risky throws when you're playing ahead, you know, your interception numbers will be down. And that's what we're seeing out there with Jalen Hurts, man. These close games, he feels like he has to make the play, got to make the perfect throw, and that was a tough one. Double coverage, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're going through a rough stretch right now. The standings say, you know, you got some wiggle room there. You know they're in the playoffs already.
Right.
But there aren't that many good teams in the NFC this year.
No, there's not. And, you know, and we've been saying it, I've been saying it all along, the Eagles aren't playing against other teams. They're really playing against the Niners. And they fumbled a golden opportunity last night. With Dallas losing, you had a chance to, you know, at least remain tied with the Niners. Niners got a tough game this week against Baltimore. So the number one seed was still in play. Now there's no chance. Niners are going to have home field throughout the NFC.
Coming up, Fox founds the Domas Appreciation Society, and it's about time with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.